You're listening to a feed of the Association of Music Podcasting at musicpodcasting.org.
In 2009, Erk went to the dark side and became a music podcaster. He discovered a wide, wide selection of music. Apart from Dozy Do by Julie the Band, it's now 2010 and Erk comes down the pipe and into your ears. Bigger, stronger and faster. Every Friday, it's Erk FM time. Now here's your host of Erk FM from Channel Erk. Here's Erk!
G'day, I'm Erk, and welcome to episode 92 of Erk FM. Erk FM is my music podcast that comes down the pipe and into your ears at the end of each week. ErkFM.com. Erk FM is also a proud member of the Association of Music Podcasting, and over the last few weeks we've been talking to some music artists, and now we're talking to some music podcasters, primarily members of the Association of Music Podcasting. And on the line, with an American accent, but calling us from the UK, we have Justin Wayne from The Justin Wayne Show. Hello, Justin.
It's not my fault, I swear.
How are you, mate?
I'm all right. How are you?
Mate, I'm doing absolutely super. And that's probably the first thing that I'll ask you about. You're an American doing a podcast in the UK. What's the story there?
Well, my wife is she's a veterinary student, and just because of how it ended up working out, it was sort of like, well, she can either go to veterinary school in the middle of Kansas, in some, you know, strange off the road sort of place, or we can go to London, and she can go to veterinary school there. So that's sort of how we ended up here, and it's been a challenge, I think, but it really has been. Especially in the last year or so, has really been fruitful for both of us, I think. So, yeah.
So she's American as well as you are?
She is, yes. And you know, to be fair to her, she came from a much smaller town than I did, and I think that the London was a bigger shock for her. But then also, to be fair to myself, she's back there now. So she's gone back for a little visit, which is I'm quite jealous. She's gone back to Montana, visiting our mountains again, but. But then there you go.
And so how often do you get back there?
It's been about every year now, but we've only been over here for, it'll be 3 years in September. So I mean, we haven't been over here for too terribly long yet.
Had you been over to the UK before, or this was just the one trip and over you went?
This was the first time. This was the first time that I'd ever been to London. First time I'd been to a country outside of the state, well, not to mention Canada, I suppose, but a country outside of the states that also spoke English. I mean, I've been to other places in Europe. I've been to Italy, and I've been to Austria, and I've been to, you know, places like that where they do speak English, but, you know, it's obviously not as widespread as it is here.
So were you doing the Justin Wayne Show when you were over in the States, or is this only a thing that's happened since you've been in the UK?
To be perfectly honest with you, the Justin Wayne Show came out of me being poor and out of work here when we first moved here, because I came over here on a visitor visa because Jamie and I weren't married yet. So I was trying to look for work and trying to get a visa, and I spent, you know, it was my full-time job looking for work. And at one point, I was like, well, you know, I started doing... Because I'd been a radio presenter in the States for a while, and I did community radio, I'd done college radio, I worked in commercial radio for a few years, and I was sort of looking for those types of jobs. Then I got, you know, I worked for an internet radio station for about 4 months, and it was a free thing. And I was playing the same stuff that I had on commercial radio. I was doing because I came from a classic rock background, is what I did in commercial radio. So I was doing a classic rock show, and it sort of stopped myself one day, and I said, you know, I'd really like to be playing some of this other stuff that I'm listening to. I'd really like to be doing a an independent music show, and just through through a comedy of errors, I got the internet radio station I was working for was really badly managed and badly handled, and I won't say which one it is because I think they're doing a lot better now, but at the time it was sort of an upheaval, and I said, you know, screw this, I want to do my own show. So my brother made a joke, and it all that's how the Justin Wayne Show was born. My brother was like, well, why don't you just call it the Justin Wayne Show? I was like, oh, all right then. And so I started a blog, and then the blog became a podcast, and then the podcast is now, you know, grown into what it is today, I guess.
And so that was going to be my next question. How much thought did you put into calling the Justin Wayne Show the Justin Wayne Show? But you've just answered that one.
Well, kind of. I mean, it did start as a blog, and it was a joke that my brother made, and I was because my brothers are twins, and they used to always say that I was very, you know, very self-centered when I wasn't. Dang it! But that was sort of, they used to take the piss out of me all the time, saying that I was very self-centered, and So they were like, well, why don't you just call it that? And so I started this blog about us moving to London and us being here and how difficult it was. And, you know, lots of my friends would read it because I guess for some reason that the stories that we were doing were quite interesting, just about silly things that happen. I mean, it's amazing when you come to a new country like this and you sort of think, especially for Americans, I mean, not to tear myself down, but a lot of Americans are very, very ignorant about what happens in other parts of the world, and I think I just assumed that that I was going to walk over here and everything was going to be, I'd be able to understand everything would be fine, and it certainly wasn't. It was quite a culture shock.
So, what were some of the challenges that you faced? What were some of the things that stood out, caused the most problems?
Oh gosh, well, I mean, the main thing was they didn't have Walmart. I can't go to one store and get anything. I mean, I don't know why that was such a hard thing for us to deal with, but just having to, you know, finding where to buy things that you would, you know, I mean, or find just the day to day things that are, everything is different and everything is just a little bit quite, you know, you have to, I suppose it's an oversensitization in the end. You're taking on so much new information and handling so many things differently in your brain that it's quite hard to deal with. It was quite exhausting, I think. But,
well, you'd probably remember when Westfield at London opened and the big hoo-ha even made the press here. You know, it's like the big major shopping centre in the UK. And I'm like, we've had these sort of centres in here in Australia since the 1970s.
Yeah. They just don't have the place. I mean, they don't have the places for it. And it's all, especially London, is broken up into very, very small little, you know, little towns and sections, which is great. I think that, I mean, obviously, because that's how it was built. You know, sort of built. Yeah, I mean, I think that, which is, you know, completely different to America, where everything is sort of planned out, very, very carefully planned and built, and lots of parking lots and lots of, I mean, you know what it's like. You've been there, so yeah. There's lots of space built into everywhere, whereas here it's sort of like, well, we got to take advantage of every little bit we can.
And so what about the British accents? They would have taken a while to get used to.
It did. And we started out in East London, and anyone that's ever been to London before and been on the East Side or heard someone with a proper East London accent, sort of just sometimes you're like, I have no idea what you're saying. but we dealt with it. I mean, I can understand just about every accent now, except for some of the northern ones. Some of the northern ones are quite difficult, even still. But there you go.
So when did the Justin Wayne Show start?
It started. It's we've been going for just over 2.5 years. So it would have been
2008. Yeah.
January, because it was January 2000, just after my birthday. So just after my gosh, I feel old, but there you go. Yeah, and I suppose, as you know, I mean, it was a lot of work to get it started. I mean, just trying to track down artists that that want to be a part of a podcast that hasn't happened yet. And you know, obviously it's a lot easier now to get music because you have a show and a website and stuff like that. But at that time I just had a blog. So it was
And one of the biggest things to happen to the Justin Wayne Show is when you increased the length of the show and you went over to Recharged Radio. I presume you were debating about whether or not to do that, you know, looking forward, you know, going down the track until last year.
Yeah, it was because it, but yeah, last year it sort of happened as I sort of hit a point in my subscribership and just in my own sort of head, I suppose, where you're sort of like, well, are we going to do this for real? Or are we just going to do this as for fun? And not that I don't still do it for fun, but I sort of made a conscious choice to say, all right, I want to try and go get more subscribers. I want to do this right. I want to, so I redid all the imaging for the show. So I made it sound shinier. I made sure that I was, you know, I sort of cleaned out a lot of the cobwebs. I redid the website. And part of that, a big part of that was when I joined the association, which happened in July, and then Recharge was in October. But I think, like, just making that decision and then joining the association and then asking all questions. I mean, you sort of throw a question into the association group and you get all sorts of support and help, and it was really helpful and great. And that was a big thing that propelled me into Recharge Radio.
So how did you find the association in the first place?
It was something that I've been aware of when I first started and was, you know, trying to find places to list my show. I mean, I suppose that was part of the making it more serious when I was sort of going through. But it was, you know, one of those things like, oh, I have to pay to be a part of this group? I'm not sure if I'm... And it's probably good that you have to, because it is sort of a financial commitment. Like, I'm financially making a decision to be a part of this group. And I wasn't ready to do that at the beginning, but then I sort of came back when I was getting serious about it and said, all right, I'm going to be a part of this group. I want to see what this is. It's worth $20. And then of course, you know, got in, because that was another bit of it, is that they don't let in anybody. They don't just let in any hoo-ha off the street. I mean, it has to be a good show. So, I mean, that was part of a boost for me for a group that was doing what I was doing. To say, yeah, actually, we like your show. We want you to be a part of our group.
No, you actually blew quite a few people away with your show. And I think by listening to all of these other shows, taking advice from, you know, a whole heap of different people, you know, it improves everyone.
Yeah, it's very true. It's so good, especially... I mean, any little question that you have, it's always, you know, there's always an answer. Or there's always, you know, at least some advice if there's not an answer. And I just found that really, really, it's been worth my $20.
Well, I remember the discussions that we had in relation to show length. Many people have got different opinions about that. You started off around about the hour. Around about the hour mark, and now you're 2 hours a week. And, you know, there's people who do 30 minutes. There's a lot of people that hover around the 45 to 60 mark. What do you think about that particular subject?
It is an interesting... I mean, we could probably debate this all day, and it's still a thought that keeps reoccurring in my head. Like, I think that because I know I did have a lot of people that listened to the 1 hour show, and I would imagine that I did lose people when I moved to the 2 hour show because it's longer. The other thing about podcasting that you always have to think about is that people are downloading it, and people don't want to always download something that's 100 megabytes, and it's quite large. So, and then, you know, you have to deal with the, but I suppose as far as like the show goes, I saw it as an opportunity, especially because I was going to be doing a 2 hour show. I didn't want to throw it away. I mean, when I joined Recharge, it was what Jordan had told me, and Jordan's the guy that runs Recharge. He said, well, we want you to do a 2 hour show on a Wednesday. And I said, right. Well, if I'm going to be playing 2 hours of music, I may as well podcast 2 hours of music. I mean, it doesn't make any sense for me to do a 2 hour show and then chop it up and do a 1 hour show. Some people do that. It didn't make sense to me, and I just with how I was gonna, you know, wanted to do the show, I mean, it just gave me an opportunity to put out more music, I guess.
And so when you started, you were podcasting like most of us, where you pre-record. Did you used to put out on a particular day, say like Wednesday or whatever was the day that we could expect to hear the show?
I tried to. I mean, I think when I first started, the first 6 months of it was sort of in between and hit and miss. But there were, I did go through stints. It's like, okay, I'm going to put this out on a Wednesday, and it was always out either that Wednesday or the Tuesday before. And I really tried to do that. And I think that doing it, recording it live now, has really changed. Sort of given me something to be accountable for, because, you know, I was accountable to my listeners, but it sort of gives you that, like, okay, well, I have to record it on a Wednesday, so I'm going to put the time aside every Wednesday to do that. And then, well, so you present the show live and record it is what I do. And then Thursday, Friday, I put out, as long as it's, I always sort of was doing it before the end of the weekend, and that's changed recently, actually. I did, because we're starting to do a little more time sensitive stuff on the show, we're trying to do some giveaways and things like that. I'll sit there for an hour or two after the show and set up the podcast and then send it out the same night. So, which takes a little longer, but then it's done, I suppose.
So what's the difference for you actually presenting the show recorded compared to live?
It's a big difference, and the biggest difference for me, you know, aside from the fact that I can't redo things and I can't go back and scratch things out, I suppose I could if from the live to the podcast, but I don't. The biggest thing for me is the energy. I mean, there's just a great feeling to be doing something live, and it's scary at the same time. You know, if you screw up, it's there. People hear it when you mess up, but at the same time, it gives it sort of like surfing. Even though I've never surfed before, you're riding that wave, and if you can ride it right, I mean, you can do amazing things, and it can really propel you to a different level. And I think that sort of energy level is addictive almost, and I really do enjoy that. That's one of my favorite things about doing it live, is that energy level, and also because of Recharge Radio, we have a chat room as well, so you have people that are responding straight away. That it's easy to be a part of the chat room, which is nice. It's not like when I did commercial radio where you had to call in. I mean, calling is more of a thing for someone to do. It's more of a commitment. Whereas I can just chuck something in the chat room as an anonymous coward or something. You don't necessarily even have to sign in. You can just be some random number. There's that instant. Instant bouncing off of your audience, which is just amazing. It's really great, and you can take, you know, instant requests and all that sort of stuff, and I really, really enjoy that.
I'm sure you've listened to commercial radio before, and you might have heard the announcer during a song or something like that, or something they've said has really annoyed you, and you've just wanted to ring up somehow and, you know, tell them, hey, dude, your mic's on, and that sort of thing. And, you know, in that chat room environment, they can say, hey, Justin, we can hear you.
Yeah. And I think it's funny because I know there was one thing. The Recharge Radio Awards were a few weeks ago, and every time I would rattle off the four names of the bands that were playing, I kept forgetting one of them. And as long as I had the chat window up, someone would dump it in there for me, and I could pick it up and run with it. And then, but it's so instant. It's so, and I suppose it makes me all that more accountable, because I can't, you know, leave the mic on. I can't. I have to be ready before the show. I mean, I have to have all my notes there. I have to, which is good. I think it really brings the show up to a next level, and especially when there is a full chat room and there are people in there that are participating in the show. It really helps me, and it really gives me that extra incentive to do better and to play better music and to which is what it's all about. That's what I, that's why I do it, and it's it, it really yeah, it's good.
So, what sort of reaction do you normally get? Do you normally get a positive reaction?
Well, I suppose that's part of it. I mean, the people that are involved in the chat room generally are positive, you know, influences. I mean, it would be, I suppose it'd be really easy for someone just to go in there and to say you suck or something, but that's never happened actually. You know, they do correct me sometimes, which is great, and I need that, and it keeps me honest. But it's always a good response, and I suppose that's because, you know, if especially with this sort of attention market, if they don't like it, they're just going to turn it off. They're just going to click the Xbox and do something else, which is absolutely fine. I mean, that's, you know, that there's so many other choices and so many other radio stations out there that I would rather just have people that like it, and if they don't like it, then they can go somewhere else, I suppose. I mean, I'm not telling listeners to go other places, but definitely I suppose that's probably why I don't get negative responses, because there are other options.
And so what's your show prep process like? How do you decide your playlist?
Well, I mean, there's a couple things that go into how I create the show. I mean, I do get submissions now, which is great. I mean, I spent a lot of time with my good friend Jason back in Chicago. He's helped me do a lot of the copyright on the website and stuff like that. So we spend a lot of time figuring out how to try and draw people in on the website as far as submitting music. And if someone adds me on Twitter, I'll always respond to them with a message saying, "Hey, send us, you know, come go to the submission page on our website and drop us a track or two." People email me stuff, and a lot of the new stuff goes right on to the almost always goes right on to the show. I mean, it's 2 hours. That's generally about 25 songs, and that's every week. So I need a lot of music, but I think that because of the different places that I can go look for it and the different places that it comes from, there's no shortage of really good music, which is, I think, is amazing. I mean, I sort of pride myself in finding good music, but a lot of it finds me, which is, I think, is just amazing. And I really appreciate it. I'm sort of honored when bands come and say, "Hey, will you please play my music?" And you throw it into iTunes and you crank it up and you're like, "Oh, this is a really good song." But I do. I also like to go into MySpace. I listen to other podcasts, and you know, and people play things. They're like, "Oh, that sounds great. You know, I really want to get that." And I'll go after the band and find it. You know, sometimes go to shows and you meet someone and hand them a card and like, "Yeah, I really like your music. Will you send it?" And that's one of the big reasons I do the show is to find, you know, that sort of that buzz of finding an artist and stuff like that, and I really enjoy that, and enjoy the buzz that they get as well, I suppose, and seeing them sort of light up and like, "Oh, you're going to play my music on the show? That's great." And the other thing that's been really nice with Recharged is that Alex, we have a guy that deals with a lot of the submissions for Recharged Radio, and he'll send me every month they do a new submissions show, and he'll send me the best stuff that he's got, and then he'll send me, you know, between us and the other presenters on Recharge Radio, we sort of rotate around songs that we really like. So it's sort of becoming there's not a lot of filtering that comes into it, but I think it's easy for me to find good music now, which is great. I mean, it certainly wasn't in the beginning. I think I did a lot of running around and looking for it, but I think now. I do still, but I certainly don't as much.
I know that there are certain songs that get passed around from podcast to podcast, and sometimes you'll hear a song on your show, you'll hear a song on Ouroboros, you'll hear a song on Dark Compass, you'll hear one on the Bugcast, and they'll all sort of go around all these podcasts, and then you'll hear other songs that, you know, you might play first or whatever, and I know that I've got a lot of my really good tracks from listening to you.
Oh, well, that's very nice of you to say. You just rattled off a lot of my staples as well. I mean, I know I've heard a lot of stuff I've heard great stuff on the Bugcast. I've heard, you know, stuff that I've stolen from all of those guys. I mean, I suppose that's the great thing about the association as well. I think one of the biggest finds that I've had recently in the last few months came from you. It came from Peter Renzullo when Scuddly Records put out Folklore, and because Richard has sort of taken him in, and he's been doing the Scuddly sessions on my show, and very soon he's gonna start presenting his own show on Recharge Radio, which we're really excited about, and he's just amazing, and I just this whole community like saying like, oh, this person's doing exactly what we're doing. They're trying to get out independent music. They're doing lots of stuff for it. Let's help them out. And I think that you know, not even in the association, but just sort of in the world and people that are getting excited about independent music, because I mean, as we watch, you know, EMI selling off all our other assets, and the independent musician's day is coming. And I'm really excited about, you know, being there when it does. And, you know, I think some of it, you know, maybe it's not a day, but maybe it's a few hours in a day now that definitely the independent musician has already.
So let's talk a little bit about the Scuddly sessions and how all that came about. Now, I got an email from Peter saying basically you can play the album, you can basically present it any way you want. And so it's funny, I've mentioned this to other people, that I find a lot of my Australian music from people from overseas, especially in the UK and the US. And so he was an Australian giving me some Australian music, so I thought I'll take advantage of this. I presented it over two shows, I interviewed Peter, and then I put it out to the association, and then you picked it up and ran with it. So what did you do at your end?
I did sort of the same thing I think you did. When I first got it, I downloaded, well, I'm sure you did the same thing. You know, when you get free music that's good, like I downloaded one track and I was like, oh, this is amazing. So I downloaded the entire album, you know, I listened to it, and I was like, I got to interview this guy, you know, especially because I think you'd forwarded on an email from him saying something like, yeah, you're just trying to get out there. We're just sending it off for free. You know, sometimes when you put free on something right away, there's that sort of loss of value. But I think as podcasters, or as people that, you know, you and I, we sit there and look for music that, you know, a lot of the music that we sort of get for free anyway, we're looking for that value. And we're looking at, that's what we do, I suppose, is we're the sort of free tastemakers in some sort of a way. We're picking those things. And with Peter's, it was just sort of blatantly obvious. Because he said something about interviews, and I was like, well, I want to interview him. And so we had him on the show, and I just thought it was, I mean, he was just really a great guy. He was, he had a great energy about him. And I know Jordan was listening to the show when I played the interview, and Jordan was in the chat room. I don't know if I've mentioned that Jordan's the head of Recharge Radio. And he sort of said, you need to get this guy, you know, on, we should do more with him. And I was like, I absolutely agree with you. I mean, for sure. So I said something like, I thought, because I know that I realized that Peter had his own studio, he had his own record label, and I was like, why doesn't Peter just do what we're doing? Because we were doing Bands in the Basement, which was, you know, we had a small studio, and we brought the bands in, and they would do acoustic sets, and I was like, why doesn't Peter do that? That's the kind of music he's doing anyway. And he's done that. He's done exactly that. I mean, the Scuddly Sessions has been amazing. He has them in, they do like four songs, and he interviews them. It's sort of almost like, I don't know if you get the artist studio, the actor studio, sorry, with James Lipton, but where the actors come in and they, you know, get asked really interesting questions. I mean, I think that's what Peter's doing. He's sort of cutting into these artists and really showing us something different. And that's, you can't buy that. You can't download that for free. It's just such good, it's so interesting to listen to. And, you know, that kind of content is really going to get him far. And I just like working with him. He's just really a brilliant guy to work with. He's got his shit together. He's, yeah, I,
Yeah. I'm always just really excited when people ask me about Peter and the Scuddly Sessions. So,
what sort of audience reaction have you had?
Well, it's funny because a lot of times with podcasts and things, I mean, there are people that are listening to it when they're away from a computer and stuff like that. So, a lot of the I take the resounding silences that when you're sort of like, hey, do you want to give us your opinions about this and nothing, but. But there are times when people feel compelled to comment, and Peter's the Scuddly Sessions have been one of those times where people have sent things in and said, this is great, and people have taken me aside. Like when we were at the Recharge Radio Awards, so I got a few comments about how good the Scuddly Sessions were, and you know that it's sort of I suppose the sort of internet takes that away from Peter a little bit because he can't be there to sort of take in the compliments and stuff, and I do try and pass it on as much as I can. But I think you know if he was around here, but I suppose then he couldn't be presenting the Perth music scene to us in the same way if he was here.
If he was there. And that's the thing. If people want to go and download those sessions, all they really have to do is listen to the Justin Wayne Show, and you'll hear it anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm working with Peter to move it on to his site because, you know, I can't in good ethics really keep that on my show. I mean, it's such good content. I mean, I think that he should have it, and he will. I mean, we're gonna get his podcast and stuff set up, and he'll have his own because he's gonna be doing his own show, Recharge Radio as well, which will also be a podcast. So we're definitely gonna move that stuff over to his site. But I mean, I just think it's amazing. I think that what he's doing for independent music in Perth, and just what he's the example that he's giving us, I think is really great.
I think there's a few people like that. As you know, I get a lot of my music from Juice Management and Promotion, and they're a similar sort of thing with their own radio show. A few of my interviews have been featured on there as well. So. When we find those sort of people, we really need to work with them, and that's like what you and I have done with Peter.
Yeah, I mean, I think at this point in the game, because there hasn't really been a good way to work out ways for us to sustain ourselves as independent music providers, I suppose, what you call podcasts and internet radio and stuff like that. I mean, there are ways sort of coming out of the woodwork, but you know, I think we're so afraid of the big corporations and the money that we have to sort of do it for free in some sort of way at this point. But it takes a lot of work, as I'm sure you'll agree.
Oh yeah.
And it sort of takes courage in a way because you have to. You have to know that what you're doing is good and right. And you, like I said before, I mean, you don't always get the feedback that you hope for, but they're out there. And that's one thing that I learned working radio. That's one thing that when you don't get response all the time. In fact, you get response very, very few or a very small amount of the time. But they're out there and they're listening. And it's usually, you know, two or three times as many people as you think. The listener stats on Recharged, we have about, depending on how many people in the chat room, if you multiply that by three, generally you get how many people are listening to a live Recharge show. And then I would imagine the same goes for the podcasts and stuff like that as well.
Awesome. So we were talking a bit before about some of the great music that you've brought me. And Sierra Alpha was one of those with their song World Machine. That almost instantly became an earworm. I think I cursed you on Twitter. And I'm like, Justin, I've been playing this song all night. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah. I mean, those guys are brilliant songwriters. And, I mean, they're I always, especially musicians that are, we were talking about this on the show this week. There's some of these musicians that are just jerks, and do you know what? In this sort of free economy right now, you're not going to get very far. And Sierra Alpha are some of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. They're just really nice. They believe in what they're doing. They work really hard, and you can't not like them, first of all. And then when they have brilliant music like that, I mean, it's so easy. It's just so easy to play it. How can you not? And then you get stuck in your head and you have to play it again. And that particular song, World Machine, is one of my favorite songs that I've played on the show in the last 2.5 years, for sure.
Yeah, that song last year, it was in the final for the, what I call the 2009 IRC FM Earworm Special. I would have ranked that as number two behind Do-Si-Do. And so yeah. That's pretty cool. Why don't we play some music? I know you've selected a couple of cracking tracks for us.
All right, yeah. But they're not really cracking tracks. They're very, I suppose cracking in my mind is sort of like hard rock sort of stuff.
Oh,
these are both actually...
Cracking as in awesome. I'm sort of using the Bunkcast definition.
I'm just winding you up. No, they're both kind of acoustic-y tracks, but I think that these two artists... Well, because they're both on the birthday best this year and stuff like that. These two artists have been big. They're just great songs, and I think that you'll agree. The first one that we'll play is Orla, a band called Jespa, which is spelled with a J, and they're at myspace.com/JespaMusic, and these guys are still a duo, and they're amazing, and they're just great songwriters, and just a brilliant couple of gentlemen as well. And this one won the People's Choice Award this year on the Justin Wayne Show Birthday Best by a long shot. I mean, they had so many votes for this track. It blew everything else out of the water. I mean, a lot of other stuff had a lot of votes, but these guys were far and away the winners. This is a track called Orla.
She shyly smiles to caramel eyes. To my head and to my toes, I don't want to know if she has to go. If she doesn't, I will follow to the street down below. And to the wind and lashing rain, she calls his name, is still the same. But as I turn to go, my love, walking away, Orla, Orla, what can I say? To make you change your mind. Since we began treading on quicksand, you made your mind to go. How was I to know? Wouldn't make a stand. And every word was no to this and no to that. I don't want to live another day like that. And so I tried spelling out goodbye. At least I did in my mind. My love, walking away. Orla, Orla, what can I say to make you change your mind? We began treading on quicksand. You made your mind to go. How was I to know you wouldn't make a stand? And every word was, my love, walking away. Orla, Orla, what can I say change your mind, your mind.
Welcome back to IRC FM episode number 92. And on the line we have Justin Wayne from The Justin Wayne Show. Awesome first song, mate. And I know you've got another one coming up a bit later on.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that particular song really does, I think, I can't remember who said it, but someone mentioned to me that song is just, it really catches you, and really, you have to go find the band when you hear that song, as opposed to, yeah, I mean, it's different, but it's not too different. It just really sneaks in there.
So back to your show. What is the future for the Justin Wayne Show? What have you got lined up? What's in the pipe? What can we expect to hear in the future?
I suppose, as I sort of alluded to before, it's sort of this idea of making independent music sustainable for myself. I mean, I like yourself, have another full-time job, and I would love to make independent music my full-time job. I would love to spend it, you know, finding music and helping bands improve themselves and helping independent musicians make a living. I mean, I think that the day of the big record contract, at least for the next, I don't know, 10, 20 years, the day of the big record contract is dead. And I know that there are bands, especially in the States, that don't believe that. And I would imagine that, I mean, it's not the same. We're definitely in a different musical landscape. And my plan is to sort of start taking some of these artists and helping them out and working with them. And because, as I'm sure you know, I mean, you come across bands that you really believe in and that you really think could do well. And they just, they're definitely things that we could do to help them. So, I've been looking at a lot of different things and ways to do this because I don't want to compromise my sort of ethos, if you will. That's kind of a big word for me. But,
your ethics.
I don't want to compromise the reasons that I started doing this. I mean, I don't want to start, you know, paying people to play or anything like that. I would never go in that direction. I think what I'll end up doing is start some sort of, I'm going to be starting some sort of consultancy with and taking on bands that I believe in and working with them and helping them get a presence on the internet, helping them sell their own music. And that's my plan. That's not really the Justin Wayne Show, but that's my plan as far as I'm concerned. And I think that's going to help the Justin Wayne Show because I want to be able to really boost some of these artists that need it. And if I can start, and I think that'll help me bring better bands to the show, and then take some of these bands away and really help them take it to the next level. If that won't be a record contract, that'll be setting up their business plan because let's be honest, in today's world, a band has to consider themselves a small business. Because if they start doing that at the start and they start, and it's not to compromise their music. I mean, you got to keep doing what you're doing. The main cornerstone of that small business is good music. So concentrate on the good music, make the good music first, and then, you know, and then start thinking about, well, how am I going to make this into a career? Because the last thing that you want to do as an independent musician is be sat there, you know, flipping burgers or, you know, that's not what they should be doing. They should be spending their time making music. So you have to start thinking of it in how can I sustain myself? So that's my goal, I guess. Yeah.
Justin Wayne Consultancy.
Yeah. Well, I have a name for it. If you're ready for it, it's going to be called, do it yourself direct to fan. So essentially will be, I mean, I'm starting to do some tests with some select artists that I've already chosen. But I want to be able to help them build up their online community, use their fan base, and communicate with their fan base, and not use their fan base. That's a horrible phrase. I apologize, fans. I will not use you.
Justin Wayne will not use you, and the using of fans is not blah 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 by Urk FM management.
I mean, because it's so transparent. I mean, if you don't have good music or if you're a jerk, it comes out, and it's on. You know, it's on Facebook. It's on Twitter. If you do something wrong, it's there. I mean, I saw a band about 6 months ago, and I won't say the band or the venue, but this venue turned them away, and they said, you know, you're not bringing a big enough crowd. We're not going to have you. And they put it on Facebook and Twitter, and I would bank on the fact that now that they're having a really hard time getting bands in at all, because they crapped on a band, and you can't do that in this industry anymore. I mean, there's no privacy anymore. It's out there. It's on Facebook.
people
are going to hear about it and tweet about it, and yeah.
Bands talk to each other. Music podcasters talk to each other. Promoters exactly. talk to each other. So,
well, just a little bit ago, before the interview, you and I were talking about Matt Stevens. And Matt Stevens is a great guy, and he's worked very hard to create that trust that he has with his followers and with his fans like you and I, and he creates good content. He does a lot for his fans. He has his fans in mind first, which is. That's what you have to do. I mean, you have to remember why you're here. And I think that was the disconnect, I think, with the major labels, and that's why they're failing, is because they forgot that we're not going to pay if we don't have to pay. And now that we have so many choices, we're going to go somewhere else. If you're trying to make us pay $12.99 for a disc that you can make for $2, I mean, the market's just going to drop out, and that's what happened. And I think that now they're sort of trying to figure out how to do it, where a lot of these sort of independent record labels, independent musicians themselves have already not that they have figured it out yet, but they're in so much of a better position to figure it out and to do it right.
And it's not as if the artist is getting all that money anyway. When you say, you know, the disc is $12.99, it costs $2 to make it, you know, it doesn't mean that the artist is getting the other 10.
No, it's an embarrassing amount of money that the record companies used to take from artists, and it obviously, I mean, a part of it is the view from the artist side is that, well, you know, if doing it myself, I'll sell 4,000 records, and if I do it with a record company, I'll sell 4 million records, which is great, but you're going to make. I mean, not the same, but it's going to be, if you can build that community by yourself, and you can, maybe you can sell 40,000 records, you're going to have made more money than if you would have sold 4 million records with a major label, especially because when you can produce it, not yourself, but we can produce records so much cheaper these days than you used to be able to. I mean, that's a big part of it. And that's been a big part of the change, I think.
And the same too with podcasting. Just like you, I've had experience in community radio. And before, when I was doing community radio, I might have been able to stretch out within a 5 mile radius of the transmitter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now I'm talking to you in the UK. I've spoken to people in the US. I've had, you know, bands from Sweden and all over Europe submit tracks to me as well. You know, they would never have heard of me, and I would never have heard of them. You know, 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah. The internet has made it incredibly easy for us to be music providers. And that being said, it's also given us a lot of other choices. So, the cat is very upset that I'm not paying attention to him.
The cat Sorry. Is not a fan of Justin Wayne at the moment.
You can
hear
him in the background, the mascot of the show.
He's not a fan.
No, apparently he's upset for some reason. I don't know. I fed him. What else am I supposed to do? We hung out earlier, I swear. I'm not bad to him. No cats have been harmed or misloved in the recording of this show.
So you've got the unique perspective of being an American in the UK and going backwards and forwards between the two countries. What do you think the difference is between podcasting and music podcasting in particular in between the two countries?
I know that the view of a podcast is a little different in the States, and I think that I would say it's more accepted here in the UK. I think that there's still a mentality in the States in some places to try and push it to real radio. And I was just listening to an interview on the DIY Musicians podcast by a lovely woman at the Future Music Coalition, and she was saying that, you know, it's almost inconceivable these days to get your music played on proper commercial radio in the States because it's all filtered. I mean, it's all conglomerates. It's all synergized radio. A Clear Channel. You may not have heard of Clear Channel down in Australia. Hopefully not. But they bought up. I mean, they own some sort of ridiculous amount of radio stations in the States now because of these laws they put into effect in 1996. And but the other side to that is that in the States there are a lot of places. There are a lot of like I started on a nonprofit radio, which there are still quite a few of those. And there's NPR, which is National Public Radio. And they're becoming one of the big sort of independent radio things, and you can get stuff played on those. So there are still outlets for it. And then, you know, when you sort of roll around to podcasting, I mean, I think a lot of people sort of think, well, a podcast is just one of these radio programs for download. But I suppose what you know as well as I is that you can't put major label stuff on a podcast yet. And I think that this is a particularly unique venue for independent musicians. They are starting to wake up over there. I mean, we do get there is a lot of music from the States that I'm sure you play as well as I play. But I think that I've run into more people that don't believe in the podcast in the States than I have here. Yeah, I mean, some of these, especially some of these promoters that send out records and stuff to college radio. I don't know if they think we, directly compete with them or what the deal is. But I've had resounding silences and very very short conversations with a few of those organizations there, trying to get music from them for us, and that, you know, they sort of not turn me down in very rude fashions. So.
And I'm sure I'm sure you've had the emails that say, "Dear everyone at the Justin Wayne Show," and you think, "Yeah, I'm Justin Wayne, and I'm pretty much it."
Yeah, yeah. I have to admit there has been people that there are people involved with the Justin Wayne Show that have been a huge help. I mean, I have a guy called David Couch who you may have seen. He writes reviews and stories on JustinWayneShow.com, and he's been a huge help. He's sort of part of the staff, I suppose. And then and my friend Jason, who helps me with a lot of the web copywriting stuff. And it's just nice to have a couple of people to bounce things off of and say, well, what do you think this is? Do you think this is good? I mean, aside from the association and Recharge Radio, it's nice to have people that are sort of directly involved with the show, and they get to see stuff put on the website, and they get to see stuff, you know, happen in the show that airs. So I really value their input, and so it's Jamie's as well. Jamie is sort of always the good sounding board. Always, you can always tell something's good when Jamie walks over and is like, "What is that? That's a good song." I'm like, "Oh, all right, that must be good." If Jamie likes it, so yeah.
What about the public perception of podcasting in the two countries? We talked a bit about things like artists and podcasters and that. What about the average Joe? I was going to say the average Justin Wayne, but that'd confuse people. The average Joe Blow on the street.
The average Justin Wayne. It's sort of who I am this morning. The average. I think I think the average Joe both places. I think that there's still a stigma about podcast. I think people think that it's not quite, you know, oh, it's not quite radio, so you're doing a podcast. But like you know as well as I mean, there are really great podcasts, and there are shows that, let's face it, blow commercial radio out of the water. And that's been my, I think that was my goal in the beginning, was to do a podcast that had that sort of, that had that quality to it, that people could then transfer, that could go straight from radio to listening to a podcast and not see too much of a difference. Because that was my, what the show is. I mean, that's what our tagline is, independent radio for independent music. So it is still radio sort of formatted. It's sort of, you know, like they don't feel like they're in a different planet when they listen to a podcast, like, oh, this is just a radio show on for download. I think that they appreciate the fact that, especially with the fact that you can record digital television now, it's sort of that same idea where instead of having to, you know, I think that they're starting to get that, but there is still that separation between, you know, awareness, sort of that, I suppose, technology in some ways puts it off, like, you know, trying to get my dad to listen to the show. He does, and bless him, he does, but yeah. I don't think that he had it on his iPod. I'm not sure if he, you know, bless him, I'm not sure if he knows how to do that. So there is that separation between, you know, knowing how to use the technology and for a lot of people, I would assume, for podcasts in particular, that's one of our big hurdles to overcome.
Exactly right. So let's talk about some of the other things that you're also doing apart from the Justin Wayne show. You're a contributor to Made in the UK, which is interesting considering that you're American, but you are in the UK.
I think it was the large amount of Adnams that Rowley had drank before he asked me to be part of the and he couldn't take it back. I was like, because he asked me at the pod crawl, and it, actually, to be fair, he did it when he was relatively early in the evening, so he wasn't drunk. But I don't know. I mean, I suppose I really enjoy a lot. Because there's a different, it's interesting to see the separation, because obviously I came from Minneapolis is where I grew up, and it has a big independent music scene, has always had a big independent music scene, and has gotten, you know, much larger, I suppose, with in recent years. And then coming from that, and then coming over here and seeing the difference, and I've just really recognized I guess it's funny, because I think I spent too much time listening to a lot of American music when I was younger, and I sort of missed out on a lot of really good UK music. Obviously, we got some of it, but there's so much good stuff that happens over here in such a small area, and, you know, it doesn't take much to tour over here, and you just, there's so many just amazing bands. I mean, that's why Alan can do Insomnia Radio Liverpool, because there's so much great music coming out of that one city.
Yeah,
it's just the I suppose the live music scene here, and because it's so much smaller, is so much bigger. And there's a lot more market for a band, you know, wanting to tour around the UK, and you know, it only takes 4 hours to get from here to the most northern part of England, and then if you want to go into Scotland, it's not that much further. It takes 7 hours for me to drive from Minneapolis to Chicago, where if I drove that same amount, I'd be in Edinburgh,
yeah,
which is really far north. So,
how much of England and the UK have you been around?
We've seen some, and we went to Wales. They call it walking over here. I don't know why. Walking, it's hiking. You lot. we did that in Wales, and we've been to Ireland. Jamie's been twice now. She did a veterinary placement over in Ireland. So, which I was really jealous of, because we went there and we did our sort of honeymoon a year after we got married, and went to Ireland for a few weeks. It's just amazing over there. I mean, it's just, there's so much, and the differences are very, very close together. You know, just even if you're in North London and you go to South London, they speak in a different accent. It blows me away sometimes. But everything is so close here, and everything is so, you know, it's just around the corner. You can have a different culture. But we definitely haven't seen as much as we would have liked so far. And I haven't been to Paris yet, and that's just not through the channel. So I need to do that. And yeah, there's definitely places we need to see, but really enjoyed what we've seen of the country so far.
Would you go back to America to live, or is the UK it now for you?
It's definitely an option to stay. I think that it's still sort of up in the air. I think we're not quite sure what we're going to do. We're looking at places, both looking at places and jobs. And Jamie has 2 more years left of school, so we're looking at places and jobs here and. Oh, 3 more years left. No, 2 more years. Sorry. We're looking at places both here and in the States to go. And the lucky thing about her program is that it was a 5-year program. So at the end of it, we'll both be able to apply for indefinite leave to remain. So we can stay if we want to. And we could theoretically become citizens if we wanted to after 5 or 6 years. So those are all options. And we're just sort of weighing them at the moment and trying to see. I mean, we're, you know, still quite, well, I would say we're still quite young. It's not exactly true, but we're still quite unfettered. And I think we have at least a few more years left of running around and jet setting and living in strange places like North London.
and because of the way that everything is with the podcasting and everything like that, even if you did decide to move back to the US, well, you'd be up and running and everything like that again anyway. So, you know, it's not as if you were working with a radio station and then you leave the country, you have to leave that radio station.
Yeah. I think that that's one of the benefits of doing the show, is that I'm in touch with, you know, I have artists and bases in places like Portland or Seattle, not as much in Los Angeles, more sort of Northern California, Austin now as well. You know, there's places and with the Association of Music Podcasting as well, like Cincinnati, Ohio, that area. You know, God forbid I want to move there. just kidding. I'm just kidding, Randy. Chicago as well. Obviously with Insomnia Radio Chicago and stuff like that. I've sort of consciously, you know, as that was sort of near the top of the list of places that we might move when we're finished. That's one of the reasons I started Insomnia Radio Chicago, is to sort of create a bigger base there. And then, you know, places like Florida, obviously the UK as well, all over the UK, I think, just because, one big reason, because of Recharge Radio, we've just been, had quite a big, I've had quite a big following, a lot of artists and a lot of listeners from the UK now, which is great, and Australia as well. So we don't know where we'll go.
And
maybe
it's
we'll
not,
move to
and
Australia.
And it's not just me.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Insomnia Radio Chicago. Well, just think of it. I host Insomnia Radio Australia. I spoke to Rodrigo, Insomnia Radio Portugal, and now I'm talking to you from Chicago, so I'm getting my way around the Insomnia host.
That's right. Yeah, and I should have mentioned I could move to the Azores Islands as well if I wanted to, I suppose. I have contacts there.
Yes, you
so
do.
So there you go.
So tell us a bit about IR Chicago.
Because I know that when Jason first, because Jason sort of appealed to the association's podcasters and said, if you want to start another show, you know, I have these particular franchises available, or if you want to start a new one, like you've started a new Insomnia Radio that hadn't existed before. But he was saying, you know, I really like to find someone to restart Seattle, Chicago, and I think there's another one. And I know that Seattle is still available if any of you podcasters out there want to grab up Insomnia Radio Seattle.
San Francisco.
Yeah. Yeah. There's some great ones that are like literally turnkey, ready to go. So if you wanted to, hop on one of those for sure. But yeah, it was one of those, like, I'd wanted to get involved with Insomni Radio because Jason was the reason I think that I found the association, because I sent him a message saying, hey, I'm trying to get myself out there more. I'd love to exchange links with you. I'd love to, you know, write for you if you want or whatever. I mean, I was just sort of offering my services to anyone that was, you know, doing something good in, as far as independent radio. And obviously I came across Insomni Radio. And Jason, having been one of the founders of the association, said, well, you need to go get on this. You need to be a part of the association because you have a good show. His words, not mine. And so I did. And ever since then, I sort of wanted to be a part of Insomni Radio because I saw that community as well. And I knew that there was going to be a draw. And I think when I make decisions like that, my main thought is can I get some really good music out of this? So I was like, I can get some really good music. I'm sure that really good, interesting people will be submitting music to Insomni Radio. And it has been. I mean, we've gotten some amazing music. But how it worked was that he sent this email around saying, does anyone want to be a part of the Insomni Radio? I was like, yes, can I? I'll do anything. I would love to do a show for Insomni Radio. And I said, well, either put me, you know, I'd like to either do, you know, Chicago, or maybe we could start like an Insomni Radio Austin or something, which is still, I think, an idea that's floating around. But and then you sent the email around saying, hey, you know, Kimmy, you should do Insomni Radio Chicago. And then she said no. And I was like, well, maybe this is an opportunity for me to not only create a base in Chicago, but I could also work with Kimmy, who's, you know, as you know, is extremely prolific in her podcasting ability, always puts out good shows, always finds good music, you know, has huge followings, has really sort of been an inspiring story, I think, for all of us. I mean, she was a co-presenter on the Soupy Gato show for a while, and then started her own show, and is just shot past, I think, I know she shot past me as far as subscribers and listeners, but yeah, I just found her. I just really wanted to work with her as well. So I saw that sort of as a double opportunity, or triple, I suppose, because I get to work with Jason, Jason Evangelo, and Insomni Radio as well. So it's just sort of like triple opportunity for me, and I couldn't mess it up. That's sort of the long story of how that happened.
And so you've got a couple of episodes out now, and I've listened to them, and working with Kimmy would be interesting.
No, it has been. And I have to say, I mean, it's still, she puts out such good content, and she just has this, she is sincere, and she has a sincerity about, she conveys that across when she presents, and it's just really fun to be a part of that, and to be around that. It really, there are days where it sort of does re-inspire me. She's so passionate about what she does and about music. And, you know, when I get caught up in like, oh, the business bit of this, or the, you know, what am I going to do with the website, or all this other sort of technical or business sort of minded stuff, it's good for me to sort of be wrangled in again. And, you know, this is why we started it. We started it for the music. And I think that it's, well, I mean, I don't often, it's good to be reminded that on a consistently, and I do appreciate her for doing that for me.
And of course, you've got a lot of great music, and that was one of the things that I said to her in the first place. You're getting all this great music from Chicago, and so why not do Insomni Radio Chicago or do the Chicago Deli?
Yeah.
And she's really jumped, and really with the Israeli Deli, you know, she's kicking goals with that. So just imagine with what she could do with Chicago. And now, in some ways, it's the best of both worlds because you and her are together.
Yeah, because we are. Because she does have that sort of metal edge to her. I mean, that's how she started with the Metal Deli. And I admittedly, as the music choices that I've even put on this show, I mean, I do have a little more laid back, but definitely an indie flavor to what the sort of stuff that jumps out at me. I would say that I have a very eclectic taste, but I guess that, you know, history will tell you, or if you go back on my website and look at the bands that I've played, it is a lot of sort of indie rock and a lot of acoustics, quite a bit of acoustic stuff as well. So it's nice to be exposed as well to that metal stuff. And Chicago is amazing. I mean, I've been listening to, not to drop 100 million names on during this interview, but I've been listening to a podcast called Chicago Acoustic Underground for a long time, since I began my show. Just, you know, because as I'm sure you did as well, when you started your show, you go find podcasts that you like and see what they do right and then steal from them. I have no qualms about saying that. Michael Teach does an amazing stuff on Chicago Acoustic Underground. All he does is sessions, and he finds amazing artists. And I was just, you know, just listening to all this stuff that goes through Chicago, I was like, I want to be a part of that as well, because it's, I love the city. I've spent a lot of time there. I have family that lives there. I have family that went to school in, my cousin went to undergrad there, so I spent time there, you know, going to shows and stuff like that. And I love Chicago, and I'm just really excited to be a part of that music scene as well.
And it's really good to see that it's back on track. You know, there's a few places that still need representation from people who are going to do shows. San Francisco being one of them, Seattle, and there really needs to be a Insomnia Radio Portland.
Yeah. I think that it would be, you could pigeonhole them as well. I mean, you could just call them PAC North or something. You could be the Pacific Northwest or something like that, because there is just a hotbed of really good. But I can't say enough about that, because that's where, and there's a need for an outlet there as well, because when I dipped into that pool when I first started doing my show, that's where a lot of the music that I got came from. Skeletons with Flesh on Them was one of the first bands that I played on the show. I think it was like the first or second song. Asthma Boy. I mean, there's just amazing stuff that comes out of that area, and it's all so good. And they need a voice. They need more places to go, because they have KEXP, which is, you know, listened to all over the world. Their podcasts and stuff. They're an independent radio station that just does amazing stuff with music, and they're very cutting edge, and they're sort of one of the places to be heard. But even that is hard to get onto, and I think that, you know, there's still so many good bands that come out of there, because it's just saturated. It's, you know, if you could I don't know, it's just overflowing, as it were. And yes, that's probably quite a long comment for Portland, but it deserves it. I think it certainly does.
Is there any one Australian state, but you know, you wouldn't know about that. Is there any one American state that is totally like music free, that doesn't have a good reputation for music at all?
I don't know. I mean, I think that there are obviously the East Coast sort of gets lumped together. You know, anything that sort of comes from the East Coast ends up coming from New York, it seems. But there's a lot of music that comes from over there that I think gets sort of overlooked sometimes. You know, not to rip on Ohio again, but I think that there's music that comes from Ohio that gets overlooked. However, you know, the Pretenders came out of there, and so did Tracy Chapman. So I would, you know, I suppose there is stuff that gets recognized from there. And then when you sort of move sort of south, if you move your finger along the map of the United States south, you get sort of close to Nashville, which is, you know, that sort of country Americana area. And that's where a lot of the music from that whole area around there, I mean, you know, Kentucky and Georgia and a lot of that stuff. That I would imagine that anything that's not near, you know, New Orleans or something gets sort of gravitated toward Nashville. And then, yeah, I think that, I suppose one of the cities that's amazed me has been St. Louis, because that was another one of the places that we got a lot of music from in the beginning as well. I don't know if I would say that there's a city or a state that that is devoid of music, but that, certainly that there are, you know, there are places that there's less of it, and I suppose, you know, but I continue to be surprised at the places where some of this music comes from and how good it is.
How good is it, going on to another topic, how good is it to be able to actually physically meet up with some of these other music podcasters? I know you've been to a few, the Pod Crawls and recently the Rod Crawl.
I think that, because we spend so much time to and froing and on the internet and by email and, you know, by Skype and things like that, which is all very good and great, but there's nothing more immediate than actually being in someone's face and, you know, bringing them a pint and things like that. They're so worthwhile, because we sit there and talk about other things as well, but there's a lot of podcast chat that goes on, and a lot of things that we sort of learn from each other just being around in the same room and gleaning. I mean, every dollar, every pound, every dollar, every
euro,
every centime that I've spent at a Pod Crawl or a Rod Crawl has been worth it, you know, five or six times over, because of the, and it's just great to be around other people that doing what you're doing, and you know that you have podcast brothers and sisters, and I mean, like yourself, I mean, I would imagine that, not to interview the interviewer, but do you get quite lonely down that way as far as being away from the podcasters as well that you work with?
Yeah, there's not a lot of music podcasters down here that I'm aware of. There's a small group, as I was saying to George last week, we haven't had something like a pod camp since 2007, and that's basically when I got into it. You know, there are some people that I know, and, you know, I'll be meeting with some this month, which is really good. But, you know, when we hear the conversations, like the Rod Crawl, they made a video, and they put the video up, and, you know, that was really cool. And, you know, various snippets from the one before were played on various podcasts, so you can sort of get the feeling of how good it would be without actually being there. And it's good to be able to see a face and put a face to the name and watch the video and, you know, see them talk and all of that sort of stuff.
Mm. I mean, it's good to shake hands. And I mean, like I said before, I mean, the people that are doing this for the love of it and, you know, for free and for reasons. I mean, the reasons are because, you know, they're doing it for the music, and it's just so much fun to be around people like that, and it's so electric and so addicting, and we're enabling each other to continue on with our little hobbies that, you know, I think, at least for some of us, like for myself, I mean, one day I would like to make this is what I want to do for, you know, for a career. I mean, I want to be able to find independent music and do that. And I know, but I know a lot of these guys are just doing it because they love the music, and that's how I started as well. And I just love being around them, and it is enabling.
So what are some of the major lessons that you've learned so far, and would you do anything differently with the benefit of hindsight?
Do you know, I've been helping, like a friend of mine set up a podcast, and, you know, he was all like, oh, I'm going to do this. We're going to have four different sections on it, and we're going to have, you know, and I'm sort of like, hold on. Because when I started, and I sort of told him the story, like, when I started, I had all these, you know, silly things in my podcast. And if you go back and listen to episode 1 through 5, you'll hear it sort of rapidly deteriorate from the first one being full of segments and, you know, little extra things to just me and music. And it was sort of a wake-up call, because I was trying to do too much too soon. For anyone that's starting out, I think my best advice to you is just do something, you know, do one song, and you're talking about the one song, and then expand from there. I mean, start small, you know, figure out you know, figure out how to do it, figure out your production process, and then build it from there. Because I mean, you know, if you don't want to continually disappoint your audience, because you will have an audience from show one. I mean, even if they don't listen to it for a few months, they're still going to listen to this first show. And the first 10 shows that you have are going to be sort of your litmus test. But if you start small and build, I mean, that's what I would recommend, I suppose, is to try not to do too much too soon.
So the advice from Justin is just to go out and do it, and don't be scared to fail, I think would be an important one.
That's a good point. I mean, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to screw up. You're going to, you know, you're going to say things you'd wish you hadn't. And at the end of the day, I mean, you just have to, I mean, we're all human and people will forgive you. I mean, it's, you know, like I don't want to scare anyone saying that, you know, if you mess up, it's going to be on Facebook and blah, blah, blah. I mean, that's true. But also, I mean, there's a lot of stuff in fight. I mean, people will forgive you as long as you continue and you're genuine. And I mean, when I first started as well, I was trying to have this sort of like extra personality, as it were. Like Justin Wayne was sort of different than who I really am, and Justin Wayne on the radio, as it were, the Justin Wayne show is sort of different. And my wife sort of came up, you know, she's just like, I just really find that annoying that you're trying to be different. And I was like, it's interesting, because I have to say, the one person that I wanted to listen to the show was my wife.
Yep.
And she didn't really listen until she started hearing me actually, you know, be sincere. And that's how the blog started. I mean, I was just telling stories about my life. I was being dishonest, and it was transparent. I mean, I'm sure that people were like, what is he doing? I mean, seriously. Because a lot of your first listeners, they know you. They're your family. They're your friends. Don't try and be something that you're not. Just be yourself. I mean, that's going to be more interesting. I mean, look at YouTube. I mean, people are doing stupid stuff on YouTube all the time. But it's sincere. It's true. It's honest. I mean, that's those types of things are the things that get, you know, viewed all the time. I mean, that crazy girl that was crying about Britney Spears. I mean,
yeah, the life,
you know,
Britney,
as crazy as
video.
She was. She was honest, so.
And that's a thing that you sort of have to weigh up, and I'm sure people have weighed up this before. The balance between the talk and the music, and that's one of the reasons why I'm doing this interview as a separate thing. Mm-hmm. If people don't want to listen to the interview, they're probably not listening to me talk about this right now. Having said that, exactly. If they just want to listen to the music, that's fine, but if they want to hear some more detail, you know, obviously I'm asking you about podcasting. I was asking Matt Stevens about how he creates his loops and how does he do his songwriting process, and I asked the singer-songwriters, how do they come up with their ideas? And you can't necessarily do that and give it justice and give the music justice on a show where you try and split it. Where you try and split an interview and play music all within an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I'd rather, you know, keep the interview separate, little bit of music, but keep them separate, and that way you get to hear what I think about various things. You get to hear, and you get to learn, more importantly, if you're a music podcaster, if you're a musician, you get to hear all these sort of things, and you know that people aren't doing things all the same way. You've got your way of doing things, which is probably different to mine. Just because yours is different to mine doesn't mean that I'm wrong and you're right, or vice versa.
Right. Yeah. I mean, because I would imagine, because I suppose just in particular, I mean, I do put, like, Pete's Scudley Sessions happens in the 2 hours of my show. And you know, that's not to say that that's any more right or wrong than you'd separate out the interview and say, you know, putting that as a separate thing. But yeah, it's just different ways that people do it. And I think in the end, I know that one of the best pieces of advice that I was ever given is if you're wondering what your fans think of it, ask them. And when we did the birthday best this year, we had a vote for, you could vote for your, you know, favorite song, which is how, you know, sort of Yespa came up. But also in that forum, I had a thing saying, you know, what do you think? Do you like the 2-hour show? Do you like the 1-hour show? So I asked them, and it was interesting to get some of these things back, because you find out that a lot of the things that you're doing are actually, they actually like it. I mean, like you say, if they don't want to listen to it, they're going to turn it off. And you know, as long as you just have to be true to your fans and give them what they want. And the best way to find that out is just to ask them, well, what do you want? Do you want more music? Do you want less music? Do you want interviews? And I would imagine that you've got your audience set to say, well, if I want to listen to an interview, I can do that, and that's my choice. And I know where it is. It's on IRC FM, and I'll find it there. And if I want to listen to some music, it's there as well. So I think that providing that choice for you, for anyone, is a good idea.
And I'll be interested to see, you know, give it a bit longer and then go through and compare, because I know across everything, across Channel IRC, I know I've got a hardcore group of listeners that will listen to everything that I put out. And sure, that's one of the reasons why I've got the 5-in-1 feed. And then there are probably people who will only listen to the music. There are people who prefer listening to music rather than hear me talk, and, you know, that's fine. Mm-hmm. And so during the music show, I try and keep the talking down to a minimum. Doesn't always work. Mm-hmm. But it just depends on the stories that the artists provide. I always like finding out about how the bands name themselves and any weird and interesting facts about them, or any interesting experiences that have happened to them. You know, I'd rather read that than go to a band that has absolutely no bio. Okay, well, I'm not even going to waste my time. Doesn't matter if it's the best song I've ever heard. If you don't have a bio, what am I going to say about it?
That story is essential, especially to us, because we're going out there, we're trying to find something interesting that we can talk about on the show. Yeah, we'll put that on there. Absolutely. In fact, I would go one step further. Maybe you'd agree with me, but you know, I'll play something that's mediocre that has a good story, if you know, compared to something that is awesome that they don't, you know, the musicians don't care, or they don't think to put that a bio in there.
The interesting one, which sort of led to the Sierra Alpha earworm, when I hosted my first episode of Amp New Music Weekly, I was struggling for submissions, so I put out a call for help. And you put in two songs, and normally the procedure is one song per person per show. And you gave me the choice of two. And I don't know who the other band were, but the band that I picked was Sierra Alpha. And the main reason that I picked Sierra Alpha was, well, not only had I heard them on your show, and, you know, I listened to it for 5 hours, thank you, Justin, but also because of their phonetic name, and I have a show that's called Echo Romeo Kilo that's on holidays. Yeah. And so I thought, okay, that's enough of a grab for me, plus I've heard it. I will grab that over the other one. The other song could have been the best song that you've ever played, that you've ever submitted. But, you know, you've got to be able to pick and draw the line somewhere.
Yeah. I would suppose that there is that, the other side of that coin as to where, like, you know, Britney Spears use that example again, but, you know, someone that creates controversy and creates news and creates stories that maybe aren't good to sell records. And I would say that that's sort of the antithesis of what we're talking about and what we hope doesn't happen. But I do love reading and telling the success stories and, you know, what's going on with the band. I mean, that's the best thing is that, you know, that a band will give you one track or two tracks, and then a little later on they say, hey, you know, we've just been touring, we we met so-and-so, and this was amazing, and here's another track for you. And then you get to tell that story on the radio about the new track. I mean, that's what bands need to be doing for people like us. I mean, give us a story. Give us a good story. And you don't have to make it up. Don't make it up. But
no.
Especially as a band, touring bands have loads of stories. Loads of crazy shit happens on tour. I mean, tell us those things. Those are great, great radio.
Very, very exactly right. So why don't we finish up, Justin, with the other song that you've chosen for us?
All right, yeah. Well, this is a song that was best artist on the show this year. I sent out a packet of 50 tracks to everyone that's sort of helped out with the Justin Wayne Show in the last year, and they voted. And this was the one that got the most votes from everybody, as well as the People's Choice, as I told you about before. So we sort of weighed all that in. And this is actually one that I got after I went to a gig. And it was one of those that my friend was playing at it. So we went to her gig. And we got there when she told us to get there, which was way early. Bless her. But we got to see the mic checks or the sound checks, and we were sort of sitting there chatting, and this was one that blew us away, and she played half of a song. We were like, wow, amazing. And it was, she's just, I'm not sure if the recording exactly does it justice. I think it does. But yeah, anyway, to make a long story short, she's called Natasha Davies, and you can find her at Natasha Davies, which is davies.co.uk. The entire album is out now, so you can get it I'm pretty sure you can get it right straight off that website. And I would imagine it's also in iTunes. And yeah, this is a song called Giggle.
Welcome back to IRC FM episode 92. I hope you were giggling through that song that was Giggle, and we have Justin Wayne from the Justin Wayne Show, amongst other things. Justin, it's been great, mate. Where's the best place for you, for people to catch up with you and find out what you're doing?
I suppose the sort of feed is on all that stuff that happens is at thejustinwayneshow.com. We're going to be doing a big reworking of the website, because Recharge Radio is going to be reworking their website in the coming months. So we're just going to sort of try and synchronize all that. But you can also find every other Recharge Radio show at rechargeradio.com. And then as I start to expand my little consultancy, if a band is listening to the show and is interested in speaking to me about it, I mean, I love giving out free information as well. So if you're just looking for a couple of pointers, or if you want me to listen to your music and tell you what I think about it, I'm more than happy to do that. I love emails and stuff like that. The website is DIYDTF.com, or if you just type in do-it-yourself direct-to-fan.com as well, either of those will find that website. But then I'm at the Justin Wayne Show, or it's, sorry, JW@thejustinwayneshow.com is my email address. And welcome. I'll speak to anyone if you drop me an email, a message, or comment on the website or anything like that. I'd love to talk to you.
Sweet. And finally, how do you use things like Facebook and Twitter and social networks? How do you use those to find music, interact with artists and the fans?
I've been experimenting with new ways, and we just did a giveaway with a band called Titty Bingo out of Austin, and we're just sort of seeing how that's gone, and it looks like it's actually gone quite well. Anytime a band adds me, or anytime anyone adds me on Twitter, I always look at their Twitter page, and if they're a band, I'll ask them for music. And listen to it. But my blog also syncs to the Twitter and Facebook and MySpace. So when I post something, it just sort of trickles down into all those places. So you get links to everything through there. And I've started posting videos as well. I called it Justin Wayne TV at the beginning. I think that sounds really, really lame. So I think we're just going to call it something. Or just call it nothing. We'll just call it the Justin Wayne Show on YouTube or something like that. But
I was going to say Justin Wayne Vision.
Yeah. It's
yeah, it's not a lot you can do with it, is there?
That happens after a few pints, I think. a few too many pints.
Oh, well, there's one way of English life that you've come accustomed to. You call them pints.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can get a pint in the States as well. I mean, you can ask for a pint. It's not hugely different. But definitely, there is more of a... You do call it a pint here, and there you call it a beer. But that's because we don't differentiate our beers as much in the States as they do here. They have lager and bitter and ale, and we just have beer. Most of it is lager, I found. Anyway, yeah. I definitely am. If anyone finds us on Twitter or Facebook, the Facebook is facebook.com/thejustinwayneshow, and then the Twitter is without the. It's the only thing in the whole Justin Wayne Show link universe without the. So it's just twitter.com/justinwayneshow. Do follow us, and I always try and put out good content and, you know, little tidbits and things about creating good furthering your independent music career and stuff like that, because I'm always researching that and always trying to find better ways to help bands. So I'm always trying to put that stuff out as well.
Awesome. Thank you, Justin, for joining us. Don't forget to join us on Friday for IRC FM with excellent music down the pipe and into your ears. And you can hear the Justin Wayne Show live when?
Wednesdays. I'm not exactly sure what it's probably in the morning for you, isn't it? Or the middle of the night. But it starts at 8 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time.
That'd be pretty close to... That'd be roughly in the morning.
All right. Nice. The morning show in Sydney.
There you go.
I'll have to chuck that on there next time. That's kind of funny. Because it is. I mean, you can literally listen to it anywhere in the world, which is great.
Indeed, so thank you, Justin, for listening. Until next time, I'm Erk, and on behalf of Justin, good night, Interweb. You have been listening to a Channel Erk production. Channel Erk and all five podcasts are licensed under a Creative Commons non-commercial, non-derivative, share-alike license registered in Australia. Music is used with direct permission or under agreements with various music providers. All rights to the music contained within remains with the original rights holder. Some sound effects are sourced from the Free Sound Project under Creative Commons. For more information about Channel Erk, go to www.channelerk.com.